Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. We're going to talk about the forever Father. Amen. I realize many people may have grown up, and especially in society today, the family has been attacked so strongly. And so there's many people today that don't know what a kind or a good father is. And sadly, there's been abusive fathers. There have been some good fathers. Thank God for that. But God wants to... God is a great father, a kind father, a loving father, a gracious father, a just father, holy father. But when he comes and becomes your Savior, then God the Father becomes your Father forever. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's notice Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would afterward, which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, theirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 17, same chapter. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. And so, there we have it in the book of Hebrews, which is a faith chapter. Many people who had faith, tested faith, tried faith, and proved that faith in God was real. So let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for your word today. I pray that you'd bless it, Lord, encourage, strengthen each person in this place. Thank you, Lord, that you are our heavenly Father forever. And Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just anoint your servant, God, to bring forth a word to hear us to hear today. Help us, Lord, to receive it with faith. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20 and 12, says, "Honor your father and your mother." And some people say, "Well, if you'd have known my father, you wouldn't have honored him." But we've got to honor the position that God placed authority in. And God is an honorable God, powerful God, mighty God. Honor means to respect, revere, and to treat with goodness, even awesomeness. Father and mother. And my dad is not here today. He's in heaven with Jesus. So is my mother. But he told me one day, in later years, he told me, he said, if I had it to do over, he said, I would go hunting and fishing with you more. I would spend more time with you if I just had it to do over. And I've said it before, if we had life to do over, there's a lot of things that changes we'd probably all make, and some things we'd do different, some decisions foolish decisions we made when we were younger. Now that we're old and wise, we would make different decisions on. But the generation that my father grew up in, it was during the Great Depression, and they didn't play, they worked. And that's what they did, because you worked for everything then, and that was what a father was. He provided for his family, whatever the cost, whatever it took. He told me he could remember when you could buy three or four pieces of candy for a penny. You can't buy anything for a penny today. Anyway. And so, he regretted he didn't spend enough time with his children. And he did spend time with us, but we spent time together in the field. We worked together. We didn't hire people to work. We worked ourselves. That's the reason he had kids in the home, three kids. He taught us all to work. If this is okay if I say this, I think it is, but Border Patrol is a different story now. But my sister, she had very black hair, and she had a good tan, not because she laid out, but because she drove a tractor and worked in the field so much. And The Border Patrol came down our lane one day, and she was plowing, and she's not here, so I can say. I guess they thought she was Hispanic at first, and they stopped and checked her and made sure she was, you know, legally in this country, and she was okay. But I said that to say this, and we don't thump for everybody that comes here and wants to work and wants to provide for their families and wants to come in legally. I'm not here to discuss politics. That's just an example. But spending time, your children really don't want your money. They don't want expensive toys. Mostly they want your time. If you can take time to spend with them, amen. Yes, they do want expensive toys today. And men and kids are not much different. Their toys just get more expensive the older you get. But you see, God has given fathers the responsibility to be the spiritual leader of their home, to provide and protect. And God has given that to fathers. And I thank God that He is a God who provides and has protected me in a spiritual sense all my life, physical sense as well, every way. And so He is a forever Father. And I want to, first of all, let's look at the fact that God is a faithful Father. Amen. You don't have to worry about God not being around. Father in heaven is always present. He's never absent. But He's a faithful Father. And we find here that Abraham was a faithful man. And Abraham was faithful to walk with God. The Bible says he was a man that walked with God. It means he had a relationship with God, a continuing relationship with God. And so Abraham didn't take days off from God and said, God, I'll need you tomorrow, the next day, or I'll call you when I need you. No, Abraham walked with God. That means he had a continuing relationship with God. And that's the only kind of relationship with God to have, is one that continues. Amen. And so he set an example for his family. Here he was. The Bible says Abraham, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place which he would afterward receive for an inheritance. God told him, He says, you go to a place, I'm going to tell you where it is. I'm going to show you where it is. I want you to go there, and I want you to step out on faith and follow me. I've known many people that stepped out on supposedly faith, and that really wasn't faith at all. God didn't say nothing to them. But God did say something here to Abraham. He says, I want you to go out. And the Bible says that he went out not knowing where he was going. I don't know if you've ever been there or not, lost directions, or lost when you was going somewhere, and you felt like Abraham, you're just going out and you don't know where you're going. And so, and just a few years back, I've had district youth director, said he was going somewhere to preach and said he was just going down the road, just praising God, going. He's going a little bit too fast, and a speed the light vehicle pulled up behind him. Highway patrolman. And so he related that, and he spoke to us just a few minutes later. And he didn't say anything about it, but the guy that introduced him did. Amen. But Abraham here, by faith, he went out not knowing where he was going. He was going to a land that God had promised him. And he said, you can't see it, but he said, I want you to go, I want you to walk with me. And as he walked with God, he led him to Canaan's land. One of the most ungodly places on the planet, or the most ungodly place on the planet. And God would send him there because God wanted to build a people and a nation there through whom he would eventually bring his son to be the Savior of the world. And so Abraham believed what he couldn't see, and yet he went out not knowing where he's going, but he knew that God was leading him. He knew that he was following God. He knew he was walking with God. And I'll tell you, believer friend, today, we can't see heaven. We can't see Jesus in human sight right now. We can't see heaven. We can't see eternal things or eternal places. But I can tell you something. God has placed faith in our heart where we can believe and know for certainty that we're going to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. I want to tell you, God has given us faith. That's how we believe. Amen. And the Bible says to the New Testament believer, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. And we believe. We believe here that even our walk here, we know there's just more to it. It's not just about the here and the now. We're saved now to live for God now, and surely there's blessings that go along with us. God's given us peace for where we're going to spend eternity. We can walk with the beast. We can have God's peace as we go about everyday things and know, but yet in our heart, we're at peace with God. We're in right relationship with God, and that's what God wants. And He gives us that, praise the Lord. Money can't buy that. You can't see peace, but it's here because God gives it. And it's because of what He did through His Son. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified, declared not guilty, by faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, even our walk here is something we cannot see, but we walk by faith, not because we just decided to believe it, but I believe when you give your heart to Jesus, God places a certainty and a faith in your heart that He is true, that He is real, that He's coming again, that He's a Savior. God places that faith. He's dealt to every man the measure of faith. Ability to believe. Amen. So we have that certainty in our heart that God's word is true. Therefore, we choose to be faithful to God as God has been a faithful Father to us. And we have been given that promise from God. We have been given the promise from God also that if we'll just be faithful to Him, that we're going to be with Him. Revelation 2:10 says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Amen. The reward of eternal life. Praise the Lord. And Abraham here was promised that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of heaven. Here he is, 75 at this point, and he didn't have a kid yet. And God is saying to Abraham, I'm going to give you, your descendants are going to be as numerous as the stars. And I don't know if Sarah heard him or not, but she's sitting over there, oh, really? Abraham's 75 and we're going to have a lot of children. You know, in the natural, not going to happen. But God sees things and is able to do. Is anything impossible with God? Nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Some of you are 70 or 80 year old women here today. You may not want that kind of a miracle. But it can happen. Amen. But God had promised Abraham that all nations would be blessed through him. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 tells us that. God told him, he says, I want you to get out. I want you to leave your family or your home. I want you to go to the place that I will give you. And I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. And through your seed, the earth will be blessed. All people will be blessed. And that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ coming, making salvation available to all peoples on the earth. I want to tell you, in heaven one day, there will be multitudes of people from every nation, tribe, and language, and tongue that have received Christ as their personal Savior. And they will populate the heavens and the heaven, praise God, and God will be there, and the fulfillment completely of Abraham, God's promise to Abraham, will come true, and is coming true today, praise the Lord, as people are saved. Abraham was a faithful man. He was faithful to pray. He was faithful to build an altar. He was an altar builder. And that was in the Old Covenant, or before the Law of Moses. And he believed God, and God credited it to his account for righteousness. But prayer and communication with God was his way of life. That's the way he did. He communicated and prayed with God, and prayed to God, and knew what to do, and knew to turn to God, and made the choice to believe God. And my earthly father taught me to pray, not because he didn't say this is the way you do it. My dad taught me to pray by praying. And every day when I would get up to go to school, I knew when it was alarm clock was set. I didn't have an alarm clock. I could hear Daddy praying in the living room. And Daddy didn't know how to pray quiet. I don't think he thought God was hard of hearing. And he prayed. 6 o'clock in the morning, he's up. He'd read his Bible for 30 minutes. He'd pray for 30 minutes and pray for all of his family and his children and people in the church before. And that even in later years, I heard him pray for some of you. He didn't know you to see you, but he knew you because I told him about you. Every single thing. Not really. No, I'll just say once in a while, Dad, if you think of it, pray for brother so-and-so in our church, you know. And he'd remember, he'd pray. And so he set a great example for me. And so I thought that's just what you're supposed to do in the morning when you got up and you prayed. I still think that's what you ought to do. That's what I do. And so he's faithful to build an altar, Abraham was. And I want to tell you, God our Father is faithful to forgive, and God forgives us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know the verse. Amen. And a lot of times we're not very forgiving, but you know, you can count on it. Every person believes God to forgive immediately. And we have trouble. We have to walk through it. Let me think about this for a while, and then I'll make up my mind whether I want to forgive you what you just said or did to me. I want to tell you, God's not that way, and we would be appalled if he was that way. We ask God, and we will intend to be forgiven right then and for God not to think about it anymore. But I want to tell you something. God wants to develop that in us where we're forgiving to other people who have wronged us. It doesn't mean that we think everything is okay, but we may think it's God's way and the character of God to be forgiving. And so God is faithful to forgive as our Father. He's faithful to restore. God is faithful to correct us when we're wrong, like a earthly father would. And I'm glad that he did correct us and does correct us. I'm glad he corrected me every time that he has. And God is faithful to renew us if we've sinned or if we've drifted away from us. He calls to us. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God requires repentance. But by his Holy Spirit, he calls on the heart of people to come back to him. And so that's what we need to do, is to realize we have a wonderful, faithful Father, and God is faithful. Second, God is a providing Father. In the natural, a father is to provide for his family. And my earthly father worked hard, he farmed, he raised cattle, he taught his family to work, and laziness was not in his vocabulary, in his thinking at all. Amen. We would work all day and come home, and then we had to feed calves with a bottle, that kind. Yeah. And when it got about dark, mother and sister had already been to the house, and she had taught her how to fix dinner, supper, we called it. We'd come in, and we'd talk and fellowship with one another. We didn't have a TV, so we didn't talk about who was the latest star. Amen. You know, astronomers tell us that many stars are just burning gases. Might remember that next time somebody calls you a star. Hello, Hollywood. You need to hear that. Okay. And so we would sit around, we'd talk about each other and talk about funny things that happened in our town, funny people in our town, funny people in the church. And it was, we had a lot of fun. We didn't have any TV. We didn't know who Popeye was. Man, I remember the first time I seen Popeye. I went over to a friend's house. Anyway. But my father was a providing father. But you see, God is a providing Father as well. We have what we have because God has provided for us. Amen. And the other day, I tell too many stories. The other day, a man came to me. He took his dog to the vet, spent all his money he had on the dog, and the dog died. And out there before, he said, I cried my eyes out because I've had that dog for a long time. And I said, really? But he said, I need some food. I wanted to say, why'd you spend it all on the dog? Why didn't you go to the grocery store? No. Helped him out a little bit. But you see, and I don't believe in don't get me wrong here. I don't believe in mistreating animals or anybody. But they are an animal and they do not have a soul. Man. Last year, a study showed that in 2016, it's more than last year, pet owners are expected to spend $62.75 billion on pets. And pets are not to be mistreated, but they have no soul. They do not have the same value as humans do. Provide first for your family, Father. That's your first importance. Amen. And so I think we put a value on things that God didn't put the same kind of value upon. Yes, don't get me wrong. I thank God for pets and I've seen people that were pets, but I don't I'm not talking about that kind. School, you had teacher's pets. I don't think I was ever one of them. You didn't think that either. Come on, Ken, you got to preach. Okay. And so Abraham and Sarah had a son. And we know that Isaac was born. And when God told Abraham he was going to have a son, Sarah laughed. And so when Isaac was born, they named him Laughter. And that's what Isaac means, is laughter. And so they laughed, but Isaac was born. And so from this would come a multitude of seed that would populate Canaan's land with godly people. And eventually they would take that country. It would be their country forever. And so the test of obedience is Cain. I can't imagine almost Abraham's feeling. Here he had Samuel, and he has grown now, or probably about 17 years of age, scholars believe. I don't know how they found that out. They weren't there like I wouldn't. But chapter 22 of Genesis says, God came to pass after that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. And so that was hard. God put Abraham to the test. God doesn't tempt any man to do evil, but he does test mankind. Amen. And so we find the test of obedience is here. God may test your obedience and your love. Will you serve God through trial, through tragedy, through times when money is short, or when friends or people seem to turn against you? Will you still love God and work for God then when it seems nobody else is for you? Will you still trust God and live in obedience to Him? We should. And God the Father has provided for you and I. God the Father has provided you and I with His Holy Spirit. And when Jesus left this world, He says, I will not leave you comfortless or as orphans. He said, the Father will send another comforter to you that He may abide with you forever. And this is not just something that helps you speak in tongues. I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is a third person of the Godhead. He's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God sent that. He didn't leave us without comfort. He didn't leave us without anything. As a matter of fact, Jesus was so anxious that the Holy Spirit would get here. He said, I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter. And He said to the disciples, tarry in Jerusalem till you are clothed with power from on high. Not only did they need Jesus Christ as their Savior and God and King, but they needed the Holy Spirit as well, as the church needs today. And here Abraham was asked to offer his only son. I can see him. God, you don't believe in infant sacrifice. You don't believe in all this that the Canaanites are doing. And here you're asking me to sacrifice my own son. But I think that deep down, Abraham knew that God had longer plans. But yet in obedience, Abraham rose early the next morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men and Isaac his son, split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. He didn't hesitate to be obedient to God. And there was a test of obedience. A father to give his only son and to offer him up as a burnt offering is unthinkable. He said, go to the place, the land of Moriah, and there on one of those mountains I'll ask you to offer up Isaac. And as Isaac went along with his father, he said, Father, I see you have the wood here and the fire, things necessary for the sacrifice, but where is the lamb? Where is the atoning sacrifice going to be here? So they went to the land of the Moriah, to one of the mountains that God had pointed out to him. In this land of Moriah, this place would be in the same area where the temple of Solomon would be built, and very close to the place where the God would offer up his only son, Jesus, on the cross. And God's revelation of provision is here. Abraham did everything. As a matter of fact, he bound his son Isaac. There's no record of Isaac having any resistance. And he stretched forth his knife to slay his son. And God called to him out of heaven. And he said, Abraham, don't kill your son. And just beside them was a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham took the ram and offered it up in the place instead of his son. And they returned to the other two servants. And the Bible says that God was even, or Abraham believed that God was even able to raise him from the dead if necessary. Hebrews 11. Man. And so God made revelation, or God made provision here. Father God made provision here. And a very wonderful name of God here, one of the names that identifies God is Jehovah Jireh, means the Lord will see or will provide. And God showed that he would provide Abraham with another sacrifice. And let's understand this. When it comes to you and I, God spared nothing to redeem us from our sins and to give us eternal life. Romans 8:31, what shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God spared nothing for you and I to be on our way to heaven instead of hell. Amen. We would be on our way to eternal darkness, but God stepped in the way and God provided a way of redemption for you and I. And God said, I love these people whom I've created in my own likeness and image, and I want to give them a way of salvation. I'm going to give them a way of escape. I'm going to give them my son, heaven's greatest treasure, that they might be born again, that they might be saved, and that they may have eternal life instead of eternal darkness and rejection. So God spared nothing. God provided for me, God provided for you, and God provides for whosoever will. Praise the Lord. Last of all, God is the eternal Father. Malachi 2:10 says, have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? And in Isaiah 9:6, in prophecy it says, speaking of Christ, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. And earthly fathers may not have always been good. Some left children or mother to raise, and some didn't provide. Some were addicted to various things and spent money on sinful things while their family did without. Can God save such a person? Absolutely. God didn't have to do what he did by sending his own son, but he did it because he loved us. And God is able to renew, and God's able to restore. God's able to save the addicted and to relieve them or deliver them from addiction. God is able to help people and set people free and make a father out of a father that wasn't much of a father to start with. God can restore, God can renew, God can heal. He came to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised. God came to do it all that needs to be done. So we have an eternal Father, everlasting Father. Earthly fathers may have not done all they did, but I want all they should have done. But earthly, eternal Father does everything. Our Father in heaven, he has provided eternal health, eternal healing, eternal life, eternal hope for you and I. Amen. This passage of Scripture is probably read at almost every funeral, and I plead guilty. Revelation 21:1. Let me tell you something about our eternal Father here, what he's prepared for us. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Also, there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, adorned as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of heaven saying, the tabernacle of God is with men, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. That's what our eternal Father has planned, for, not just planned, has promised us. That is our future, a place with him. Amen. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. Maybe that the new heaven and the new earth will be right here together, and the new Jerusalem may be where the present Jerusalem is today, and God will just renew and make it all new. I know that he'll burn up everything and make all the elements and the atmosphere the way it ought to be to start with. But anyway, whatever your view is on that, it doesn't matter. We'll be with God. That's what's important. We'll be with God forever. because he's an eternal Father. And eternally, he will provide us with everything that you can think of. Eternally, you can read the fruit of the Spirit, love, hope, joy, and peace. God, those are eternal for the child of God because God created them. And God has provided eternal health, hope, and healing for all of us. And in heaven, Revelation 22, there's a river of life that carries nothing but life in it. In heaven, there's a tree of life for which we may partake of and live forever. In the Garden of Eden, they couldn't partake of the tree of life, for they'd live forever in their sin. And in heaven, there's a book of life where our heavenly citizenship is written, that you're a member in heaven. The apostle tells us that, Colossians 3 and 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So God has eternal plans for you and I. We have a wonderful Father here, and we're born again, and we can call God Father now, and he is our Father now. But I want to tell you, he's an eternal Father, and we will worship him, and he will be our eternal Father forever and ever. My friend, you cannot pass up a deal like that. God has provided everything that mankind needs. I want to tell you, this is life is here is temporary, but our life with God is eternal. You were born again of the Spirit. There's eternal life abiding within you right now if you're saved. If you're not, you can have eternal life because God promises it to whosoever will. Praise the Lord. What a great Father, a heavenly Father, a forever Father that we have today.